in the house of the Lord. And the series of lessons we've been looking at is Children of the Bible. Amen. And I'm thankful that we can all relate, that we once were a child. Amen. And so now we're older, and we have children, and possibly grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Amen. What a joy it is children bring in our life. Amen. But we're going to go to look at Joseph here this morning, and he is a child of vision. And we're going to look at our lesson text in Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 12. Amen. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. And said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Amen. The focus verse here this morning is Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Amen. Joseph was known as a dreamer. Amen. We can relate with dreams because we have them. And the dreams usually that I have are a lot of fluttering confusion, and happens sometime between when I go to bed and when I get up, and I usually forget them in a couple of days. They're every once in a while you might remember a dream for a couple hours and tell your family or your wife or spouse about it. But sometimes they can be nice, happy dreams, and other times they can be dreams that you wake up and say, wow, that was a strong one, and that one was, wow, that's scary, or you fall off a cliff and never land. And some common dreams from eating too many Cheerios or so forth. But this dream that Joseph had was not about what he ate or anything like that. But this dream that God had given him was just that. It was from God. And so we must know right at the beginning that there is a difference between just a dream, a common dream, and there's a difference between a God-given dream that God gives. And at this point in my life, I do know that there has been a couple of people in my life that I've known that has a dream, one of them being my mom, that if she has a strong dream, many times it's from the Lord. And not as great as Joseph's dream, but nevertheless, I do remember a dream, and I've shared it before, how that I was in South Dakota and my parents were in Africa, and I was jumping off cliffs into the water. It was quite high, and my mom called in a couple of weeks' time, and she said, "Keith, I had a dream, and you had an accident jumping off cliffs into the water. If you're doing that, you need to stop it." I don't even know if she had to say that much. I stopped it very quickly. I knew that my mom was a woman of prayer, and I knew that her dream was from God, and she had no idea, this was before email, that I was doing anything like this. And so I do know that God does still move upon people with dreams. And if you know that that is true, then I would take heed to them. Amen. Right. However, this dream that Joseph had was from the Lord. Amen. The lesson talks about how the dream will come first, and then the reality comes next. And the important part is that if we ever do have a dream from the Lord, that we do not sleep too long. Amen. That we wake out of that dream and we ask the Lord to help it come to pass and let it become reality. Amen. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, Peter took his text from Joel chapter 2, 28, which says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So this was what Peter took his text from. And I am so thankful that there are men of God amongst our fellowship that have visions and dreams from the Lord. And when they share these dreams and visions from the Lord, we can put our faith and confidence that it is not them speaking, but it is God Almighty speaking through them. Amen. I strongly believe that the message last night at the camp was mightily ordained and of God. It was a very timely message, and I believe all of us there was benefited from God speaking through the man of God. Amen. And that is one tape I want to get and keep. Amen. So there are many times that God speaks to us through the man of God, and it is not just the man, but it is God's word coming through, and how important and how anointed it is for us to apply it and to receive it in that way. Amen. And not just the man himself, but he is the vessel that God is using. Amen. Praise God. So Joseph's dream was supernaturally given. Amen. It is important to remember this. Praise God. God gives dreams and visions to accomplish His will. Amen. God has His will, and we are vessels of God's will taking place. Now, the difficult part, well, let's first cover a little bit about the easy part. When God gives a dream, in Joseph's case, it would seem that everything, if it was God-given, that everything would go smooth for Joseph and this dream being fulfilled. That's sometimes our take on it, our input or way we see things, maybe our way. We would say, well, maybe for Joseph to have this dream, to have it to be fulfilled, everything should just work out just perfect because it was God-given. But when we look into the story, we're going to find out that it just happened the opposite, that everything was difficult and a test all the way through for Joseph, and the circumstances were all kind of negative in a natural way for God's spiritual side, for his dream to become reality. Amen. But when God promises something, God has his way of doing it. And Joseph was truly a man of integrity when it came to allowing God to having his way and not just Joseph's way. Amen. So what God promised, it will come to pass no matter how impossible it may seem. And I'm sure with Joseph being, you know, one of the, you know, the hated one among his brethren, that to Joseph, possibly, even though it didn't say and never communicate that in the Bible, that maybe Joseph thought, how is this ever going to happen? How is this dream going to be fulfilled when my brothers hate me and my father's rebuked me and he's, you know, this is coming from his own family. And so his faith in God and this experience had to be really strong. Right. Amen. Right. The dream brought a pit. It brought false accusations, and it brought a prison. But the end of the dream brought a palace, reconciliation to his family. It brought a position right up next to Pharaoh. And so some good things happened at the latter end. So I'm thankful that the Lord will bring about his promises in our life if we'll be patient with him. He will hold his word. Transparency 1 lets us know that it's important to keep the eternal perspective. Amen. A person who, like Joseph, recognizes the divine origin of heaven, heaven sent dreams, can put his entire life into eternal perspective. How many times do we must be reminded that what we are involved in, the work of God, is need to be looked at in the eternal perspective? Lord, help me to remember that we're laying up treasures in heaven. Amen. We are building character. We are building a next generation. Our life is not just for us, but it is to serve others. Amen. All these eternal perspectives. Amen. And only God knows when we make it to heaven, looking back, the how far your life was an example to other people and how many people you affected and you served and the influence you had in this life. Amen. We'll see that perspective possibly when we make it to heaven. But at this point, we've got to be looking ahead and forward, looking up of what God has and what God is going to do and the promises that God has given us, to stand on those promises like the song says. Amen. So Joseph sees God at work, and he must have been a man of faith to see God at work in the things that happened to him. And so when he experienced the first thing of communicating this dream and his brothers hating him, and twice in the scripture it says they hated him yet the more. Family is important to us. And when family does not approve of us and approve of our walk with God, that's hard to receive. And that would be discouraging. And if Joseph would have just closed it up and just listened to his brothers, he could have just closed it up right there and it could have been the end of the chapter. But there was a determination, there was a faith, there was a lot of things that Joseph had to do, and he had to keep his eyes on God, say, God, I don't understand all these circumstances right now, but I'm willing to be a vessel right now in whatever you have. And what faith, what a walk with God Joseph must have had to go through that. And then his father to rebuke him. And the scripture does say that his father just, in my words, kind of was going to sit back and just take note and see if this dream was from God. And in time, his father realized it was. But all that time, boy, time can be long. And time can be painful. And I'm sure it was painful at times there. So starting with his family, Joseph really had to keep an internal perspective. No doubt the lesson talks about beyond their hatred, they envied him. And that wouldn't be fun to experience in either. Amen. Joseph, in Genesis chapter 37, 19 and 20, his brothers, this is how they talked of him. They said, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." So notice they already hated Joseph, but now this hatred was not of him, but it was of what was coming out of his mouth, and that was the dreams, which was really coming from the Lord. So now his brothers have really got some really bad bitterness, I guess, so to speak, and so far that they're ready to kill him. That's a lot of envy and that's a lot of hatred. Reuben, the oldest brother, said, "Let's not kill him, but let's put him into this pit." So they put him into a dry pit, and an Ishmaelite caravan came along, and they pulled him out, and the brothers sold him for 20 shekels of silver. And so then they realized that they're going to have to give an answer to the father. And so they were going to try to play their innocence. And so they took his coat, dipped it in goat's blood, and took it to Joseph and said, "Look, we found this." Or they took Joseph's coat and they took it to Jacob. Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and he mourned many, many days because of his son, thought his son was dead. I don't know what his brothers would feel and how they would live with that, but somehow they did for quite a while. However, on the other side, Joseph was being sold to an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard named Potiphar. And the second transparency we can look at, if our dream came from God, we can dream on, for it will come to pass, regardless of the seeming hopelessness of life's circumstances. Right. Now remember, the dream had no pit in the dream. didn't talk about the pit. The dream didn't talk about all the hatred from his brothers. The dream didn't talk about being sold, being put in prison, and falsely accused. Didn't talk about that. And so, I guess if we could look at Joseph's and his life, We could say, wow, what again? We could say, what a man of patience to allow God's plan to carry out through these difficult circumstances. Did he question God? We don't ever see that in the scripture where he questioned God and said, God, why? You know, as Job, kind of, he had a lot of trouble. But Joseph, if you don't see where he was asking the Lord why all this was happening. So Joseph was truly a man of integrity. Amen. A man of character. And Potiphar bought Joseph. Things were going pretty well. Joseph was a servant and did great. And because of his work and because of his dedication, no doubt, to the Lord, Potiphar saw Joseph's life, saw favor, saw him doing a job well done. He was probably on time. He was probably very punctual, very faithful, very steadfast. He did his job well. Everything that he did caused Potiphar to put him as an overseer and placed him placed many people under Joseph's authority. Amen. And I'm thankful that we can bring that to our life in our circumstances when we serve the Lord and work our job as unto the Lord. The Lord does promote us and he blesses our job, blesses our position. Amen. Blesses that. Amen. But at a time, there was a time when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. And it did not just happen once, but it happened repeatedly, where Potiphar's wife came to him and was making advances to him. And he got himself out of that situation. But there was once that was stronger than all the rest, and it caused him to leave his coat behind. And he ran. He got out of there. And she turned the story, saying that now this man that you have in our household tried to seduce me, turned it around. And here's the coat to prove it. And you know the story, how that in Genesis chapter 39, verses 8 and 9, says, "But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And so their very, very important part was the last parts of this scripture is one that we must remember as well, is that when there is a sin like this, is very strong, Joseph realized that this was a sin against God. Amen. Amen. And how important and true it is. Amen. So now Joseph is being tested. And not just once, as we mentioned. He was tested more than once. Amen. So his family hating him. His dad rebuked him. His brothers sell him, put him in a pit, and then he's transferred to another land. All these things happening. And now add to it, it seemed like things were going well for a little bit, and now he's falsely accused. And the man the key man that had brought him and put him in a place of position, now the same man has put him in prison. So he still remains faithful to God in prison. And he remains so faithful to the Lord, and his character and everything about him is still good, even though I believe it was in Psalm that said that he was bound pretty good in prison. He was strongly bound, like his, in chains and so forth. But something about Joseph caused him to receive favor even in the prison. And he remained faithful to God, and I'm sure he was remaining faithful to the dream that God gave him. And when the king sent the butler and the baker to the prison, one night they both had dreams. And Joseph, because he was in tune with the Lord, I'm sure he kept his prayer life up. Even in the prison, when this and it's bad circumstance, that God was able to help him to interpret both these dreams from the butler and the baker. Amen. With God's help. And the butler would be restored. That was the interpretation of the dream. But the baker would be executed. Now that's one dream would be hard to share. It'd be nice to give the good news to the butler, but it would be difficult to give the baker bad news. But Joseph was used of God in that way, and Joseph told the butler, he said, "Now remember me and my situation and my, I've told you my story here. Remember me." But the butler didn't remember him until 2 years later. When Pharaoh had a dream, none of his wise men could interpret it. And the butler then remembered Joseph. Ah, he said, "There is a man that's in prison, and he interpreted my dream, and it was right. And I believe he can help you." And so everything that happened all fit together. All for a reason. Joseph just had to hold on and again experience all these circumstances to see God do it his way and in his time. So Joseph had interpreted the king's dream, and as a result, the king put Joseph in a palace and gave him authority and power right next to Pharaoh. And so now Joseph is being exalted again. So God is still in control. And Joseph rules over the land and over Pharaoh's house. Amen. In Genesis chapter 50 and verses 18 through 21, we'd like to go there and read that. "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." Amen. The time was just perfect for Joseph to get his brothers back if he wanted to. Here they are. They don't recognize him. Joseph could have been spiteful. But Joseph was a man that was in tune with God. He did not let that kind of attitude get a hold of him or spirit. And he had a good spirit about it. He did not seek revenge. And how that he loved his brothers. And he wept and he couldn't hide it no more. And how he placed everything at the table in their birth order. And all these things that Joseph did to slowly let them know that he was the one that they meant ill for. They were all against him, wanted him dead, but now he has become their Savior, there the man that was so despised and so hated. God had lifted him up. Amen. So these dreams that Joseph had took time to come to pass. And I think that's an important part of this lesson, that time will tell God's plan and how important it is for us to, in a fast-paced world, to be patient with God. Because the circumstances in life can cause us to get impatient with God. But here we find that Joseph was patient even in the 2 years in prison, falsely accused. He could have went and found a lawyer if they had such things. He could have really made a big fuss and a fight for whatever reason. But he was so patient with God. And Lord, this is a one lesson that we could learn from. Joseph did not claim credit for his dreams. You know, after all, it happened when he was asleep. But he realized that that was a God-given dream. And when we look at Joseph, he served his father. He served Potiphar. He served the prison keeper. Joseph became a servant and a vessel of God serving. So that's another lesson we can learn from Joseph, that he just continued to be faithful and to continue to carry out that servant attitude that God had placed on his life. The third transparency, we could look at that this morning. Amen. God used Joseph's brothers' hatred and envy to bring about something good, not just for Joseph, but for the entire family and nation. Amen. It's always interesting to see how God places men and women in key places to carry out his will and to carry out salvation. Amen. Here, the land was going to be saved from famine, and his family was going to be saved from famine. But they did not, that was not seen a few years before that. But Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 through 8. We could read that. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. That would be a very, very interesting, I guess you could say, for his brothers to be experiencing this. They thought that this guy was done away with, and now he's God has orchestrated all this. But then again, our verse that we read earlier in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. I think that's good to remember for us as Christians. There are going to be times when people will think evil of you. They may falsely accuse you. And they may even hate you. They may even hate you the more. They may envy you. They may seek to do away with your life. It has happened. It has happened. People have been killed for the name of Jesus, for the stance that of faith, and they are envied and they are hated. Brother Tekle Merriam in Ethiopia, his baby was killed. They told him, if you continue to preach Jesus' name, we will return. And they did. The soldiers came in, took his baby and threw it out the second story window and killed him. He was put in prison, him and his wife. I'm talking in this century, not in the Bible times. We have men and women throughout our world that are being persecuted for the name of Jesus because of their faith. Will we see it in America? I don't know. But we may experience some hatred. We may experience some of these things that Joseph is experiencing in our life that we must wait and say, God, you've promised. I just got to be faithful to you. And I can't allow this, these things, these circumstances, to stop or detour me from being faithful to God's word. Amen. So, in time, Joseph spent about 13 years in slavery. But in time, about 30 years of age, Joseph received a wife and he received two children. The first one was Manasseh. And the name Manasseh means one who causes to forget. And I'm sure that Joseph named that boy for a reason, because he wanted to not remember the pit. He didn't want to remember the prison. And he did that purposefully. He refused to dwell on the circumstances, the negative things, but he had to dwell on the positive things and the promises of God. And so therefore he named his son, his firstborn, one who causes to forget. Amen. So he had joy in this son, Manasseh. Amen. I'm thankful that God brings, throughout the difficult times, God can bring a peace or a strength at times that causes us to forget and say, Lord, I'm going to forget these things and I'm just going to keep on being faithful to you. Amen. And look for the joys in life. And no doubt Manasseh, as a young boy, as a baby, was a joy to him. And he was going to look at this young boy and say, you know, I'm going to forget all that other stuff. I am not a grandfather yet. But last night we brought little DJ, Teresa Lewis's little baby. My wife brought him home and gave him a bath and then took him back out to camp. I had a lot of fun with that little guy. And I, just for a minute, Pastor Glover, I realized, he said, when I do become a grandpa, I can see that this is going to be really, really fun. Amen. So what joy, I mean, this little boy brought just for a half hour into our little place last night. But what joy this little boy, Manasseh, must have brought to Joseph to be able to forget all the bad things and say, you know, Manasseh, one who causes to forget. The next one was Ephraim that he had, that Joseph and his wife had. And Ephraim means fruitful. Amen. And probably he realized that even in the land where he was afflicted, Joseph was afflicted with many things there, that God still caused him to be fruitful in unfruitful circumstances. So when God is on our life and we are have been blessed of the Lord to follow after him and be faithful to him, God will cause fruitful things to happen in our life. Praise God. And we can focus on those good things. And so it is important for us to hold on to our dreams and to your dreams that possibly God has given you. Dreams such as positive dreams that will enhance and help the eternal perspective that we're talking about. Dreams of the church growing. Dreams of God providing a Bible study and given me the words to say that I've never taught a Bible study before, perhaps, that God will help overcome that fear or give me the words to say, or etc. And dreams that will become visions. Someone said and put it very nicely, he said that a dream is something that you have and you put it on paper. And actually, if you go buy a business place or a piece of land, many times when they before they build on that land, they will put a big board on the corner of the property. And on that board, it will show a beautiful building. And in that building, you will see little people on the bottom, and you'll see little trees, and everything looks really nice. And then you look to the left, and you see all these ugly trees and big rocks and nothing, no building. But someone has a dream of what's going to go there. And he's like, really? That's going to go there? And but in time, that dream turns into a vision, and someone actually visualizes it to come to pass. Someone builds it, and then you visualize it when you walk into this beautiful doctor's office, and you realize, well, it kind of does look like the picture. Someone was able to put it out. Amen. And so God is able to turn our dreams into a vision. Amen. Praise God. And when we look at this earth and turn it into an eternal vision the way God wants us to see it, people being saved, lives being changed, we being the servant, then we can see that God is going to do some great things. Amen. The other lesson that we can learn from this, as Joseph saw his dreams turn into a vision, that he was able to forgive others. And he refused to become bitter. I think even serving the Lord as long as some of us have served the Lord, we already have learned that bitterness must not take root. And I so appreciate the words of Pastor Jeff Glover last night, and I do agree with them very strongly. We are talking about it the night before, how that worship brings a cleansing, so to speak, of things even like bitterness to get out. And he mentioned that last night, and I do believe that it's very true. Just a personal example, I don't always run the aisles, Brother Reagan's. But the camp's a great place to do that because there's a lot of space. Yeah. And if you ever want to shout, you know, we have a big aisle. But I don't know what it is, Pastor Glover, but that strong worship like that, it does cleanse us out. I don't know how to explain it. And usually, I'll just confess here, when I'm dancing or worshiping like that, I'm worshiping with my words as well, and they're always in tongues. A lot of things is going on right then that I cannot explain, that when it's all over, there is such a relief and there's such a surrender and a humility. But on the outside, it doesn't look like that. If someone walk in the street and see that commotion, they totally would not understand. But Lord, let us learn to worship, because when we worship, we can forgive even our own family that has treated us wrong, like Joseph did. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Praise God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And we want the Lord to continue to forgive us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Amen. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I'm thankful that we can learn from Joseph in this lesson, who forgave. Hallelujah. Amen. Hold on to your faith. Yes. Amen. Amen. And if I can add, if you did not get the tape from last night, it is worth getting. Oh, yeah. You know, I think that's a youth camp. What I, as an adult, received from that. He's probably just going to relate to the youth. The message last night was was for everyone. Let's stand this morning. God bless you. Amen. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the power, God, that we experience in your spirit, dear God, in our hearts and in our lives. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the examples in your word. God, I pray, Lord, that we would apply your word to our lives. Bless our week, dear God. Bless this day. Jesus, we love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you this morning.